Several hundred immigrants seeking asylum have been sent to the Albany County Jail, where the county sheriff has provided access to Albany Law School and their volunteers to represent the individuals. Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent Mark Dunley talks with Albany Law School professor about the situation.
So we're talking with Mary Lynch, who's a professor at Albany Law School, and Professor Lynch has been one of the people that has been helping to deal with the issue of apparently several hundred individuals, immigrants who have been detained in Albany County jail system. Mary, can you just give us an overview of what you and other law volunteers have been up with?
I'd be really pleased to. We are working under the auspices of the Capital Region Immigration Coalition, which is and has initiated an effort spearheaded by Professor Rogerson of Albany Law School and in cooperation with the Legal Project to pull together lawyers who are not immigration experts, volunteer lawyers, volunteer interpreters, and to really just triage what is going on as a result of the Trump administration's aggressive and frankly inhumane policies with respect to immigrants seeking asylum or crossing the border. So that's the overview. In particular, I am thrilled that the Albany Law School community has responded. I was there Tuesday night from 6 to 9:30, and I saw former students and professors and a professor supervising other students and alums coming back. And it was, in fact, a very patriotic way to celebrate the eve of July 4th.
Now, I understand that, you know, many of these individuals are not directly part of the situation with respect to the children who have been separated from their parents who are seeking asylum. You know, what are some of the things, as you say, not somebody normally does immigration law, what are some of the things that you experienced and observed that, you know, has struck you?
So first of all, I would say that the fact that the federal government and ICE is in chaos and clearly didn't plan for this is completely evident. These are folks, some of whom had contacts, U.S. citizen contacts in California, and here they are sitting in the Albany County Jail. I also think that, I mean, first of all, the Albany County sheriffs and the officers there, I really tip my hat to them. They could not have been more accommodating, more flexible, more respectful of both those of us trying to come in, and often we were trying to figure out, we thought we had the right names of folks who were in the jail that were matched with other people. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. So I do want to tip my hat off to the humane approach I saw in Albany County. It also struck me that although for all of us, and me included, you know, ripping breastfeeding children from their mothers or separating two-year-olds is the most egregious, it is also heart-rending when ailing parents go with, you know, adult young men whose family has been threatened to be killed if they don't join gangs. And the first thing that one of the young men I was speaking to wanted to know was, where was his mother, who was afraid that she would be killed because he, who had reported robberies to the police, had been followed hours away from where he reported to a family farm and told that he and his family would be killed if he did not join the gang. I also experienced folks who in former days would be told when they went over the border, folks in extreme poverty situations, that that was not a reason to come here and would have been told to go home and sent back home. And these folks had stories like, you know, I left enough food for my 100-year-old abuela and my parents and my wife and three children who live in boarded up wooden lean-tos where the rain comes in and animal come through, enough food for that so that I could be gone, you know, a month or so to see if I could find money in to send home from Mexico or the United States. So the extreme poverty, the extreme desperation, and the fact that there has been no acknowledgement by the, we have no information specifically to give these folks. We don't know what the Trump administration's going to do. And even though I was just a triage intake lawyer, and I now already know that someone from the coalition is going to see one of the people I triaged last night today, I don't think anyone knows if Trump is going to follow the law, even from the most recent case where the court in Damus versus Nielsen, the federal court said you can't arbitrarily detain asylum seekers fleeing persecution. Do we know if he's going to follow that? We don't. So it's a really challenging, horrific situation. And if you are a lawyer out there who can volunteer, it's the Capital Region Immigration Coalition. You can contact the Legal Project, which is spearheading the organization of it.
Now, you mentioned that during the Obama administration, which also had a refugee crisis, they had eventually set up a family case management program. But apparently that has been discontinued?
Yes. So a year ago, the Trump administration, and there's a really helpful site, the Associated Press has covered this, the ACLU has news releases and reports done on this. The Trump administration shut down what is actually the least restrictive and, in fact, much less costly than bedding people in a family detention center bed program that was called the Family Case Management Session. Situation. And this was particularly well-suited for families with children. You could get a case manager. I would also note that, as we know from bail situations and other release situations in the American criminal justice system, that if you have the right checks in place, you can assure people coming back to court. You do a good screening, you have the right checks in place. And in this particular program, 99% of the folks who were released with a case manager, so under some connection to services and supervision, came back to court. So there is no reason for us to be spending $319 per person for a family detention center bed when the family case management system only costs the government $36 a day per family.
So what were some of the criteria that a family would be able to get into this previous program?
Well, these programs were mainly centered in large cities to begin with. So they were, but the reality is that's where a lot of the border folks were going. It's only now that we're having them shipped out to places that are not right on the border. Many of them were families that were special populations, pregnant women, nursing mothers, families with very young children. So a lot of the studies have been done on those populations. But there is no reason to believe, and there is also much evidence in adult population situations where someone could have a legal claim to asylum or to recourse in the courts, that a properly monitored bail or bond or supervision or case manager system couldn't help with all of these other situations where we are really endangering entire families of people in this hemisphere of the Americas.
So we have a little bit less than 2 minutes to go. You know, what are some of your, you know, based on your experience, you know, what are some of the things that you think need to be changed in the system, or how can we do it better?
So I think, first of all, we have to get rid of this idea of zero tolerance, because I think it doesn't only an aggressive tolerance, aggressive prosecution by ICE. I think what leadership matters, the leadership in by the sheriff in Albany County, is why we can get counsel in. It's why we can triage. It's why we can do this. The leadership is the opposite of the federal level. And there what we're seeing is an incentive to terrorize, an incentive to do that. So I think a couple of things have to happen. Once, I think everybody should be calling their local representatives to demand that the federal government cease this program, start to do family case management systems, put more resources into actually connecting families, actually speeding up whether or not you're going to expedite the process of either release back to the home country or getting an immigration judge and be able to actually give information or timelines. Are these people going to be in limbo forever? That's not happening. The resources are going into terrorizing. And I think the American people have to stand up, call their representatives, and demand that our federal government sort of alter course back to, not sort of, actually return to an inexpensive, humane, and much more practical and realistic system with respect to immigrant detention.
And that's been Mary Lynch, a professor at Albany Law School, and has been Mark Dunley for WOOC.
That was Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine ongoing coverage of immigrant crisis here in the Capital District and nationwide.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM.